My name is Michelle Dillon, and I am a volunteer and board member with Books to Prisoners Seattle. I'm also a librarian by training, having graduated with a Master of Library and Information Science from the University of Washington in 2013. I first came to Books to Prisoners Seattle while I was completing my Library and Information Science degree. I had grown up in a very small town, gone to college in a liberal but still very small area, and really had no understanding of the depth of issues surrounding access to information inside of jails and prisons. I came to the library profession because I was really interested in helping to serve marginalized communities, communities who didn't really have a lot of access to information. And actually, for a long time, I thought that I was going to be a public librarian. Books to Prisoners started in 1973, and as far as I understand it, it was a direct response to a lot of the political activism that was happening during that time, especially surrounding help for people who were incarcerated and a growing recognition of the injustice of incarceration itself. I know that a lot of the first volunteers who helped to organize Books to Prisoners Seattle also had been influenced by the George Jackson Brigade and some of the other movements that were happening. And what a lot of the people were really interested in was helping to provide a route for self-liberation for people who are incarcerated. And for those volunteers, access to information was one of the best routes to do that. We send books all across the country. We get about 14,000 requests per year, and actually about a third of them come from Texas. We only end up sending about 5% of our books to Washington. A lot of the rest of them end up going to, as mentioned, Texas, but also Florida, Pennsylvania, and Illinois. By design, prisons are removed from communities. They're often put into isolated locations, very physically distant locations. Before I started with Books to Prisoners, I had no idea what life was actually like inside of a carceral facility. And especially now that we are in the information age, I think a lot of us have this tendency to take access to information in a multitude of forms almost for granted. We have the internet everywhere. I'm speaking to you right now through the internet. Anything that we need to look up, any random topic that crosses our mind, we can Google it, right? It's become this ubiquitous verb in our culture. Just Google it. There isn't that access to information inside of jail and prison walls. You can't use the internet in prisons for the most part. The staff at large determine what you can see, what you can't see. I cannot emphasize enough how alien it is to step into that world and realize how cut off you are from everything that you knew on the outside. And so we step in to provide a lifeline. Do you know what the number one request that's made to Books to Prisoners is? And keep in mind that people can request anything that they want. They write a letter to us, they can request Game of Thrones, they could request how to learn Spanish, they could, you know, throw out a very specific author or title. We'll do our best to fulfill them. But time and time again, 25% of our requests, in fact, include a request for a book that most of us don't even have on our shelves anymore. And that's a dictionary. Just think about that, a dictionary. We have become so accustomed to having everything that we want right at our fingertips that we don't even have physical dictionaries for the most part. We can go to a public library to get information, we can go to the internet, we can go to a friend's house, we can call up a friend if we really want to. You can't do that inside of a carceral facility. And so, access to information is locked down to such a point that we often exist as one of the few alternatives to actually help people who need information. We're one of about 36 prison book programs across the country, and we have tried to do a fairly good job of splitting up to ensure the best coverage that we can get while still not overtaxing any group. Books to Prisoners Seattle teamed up with a few other groups about a decade ago to split up Texas and California men's requests because we were having such a high volume and no group was able to respond to the volume that we were getting from both populations. Prison Book Program in Quincy, Massachusetts does the fantastic work of trying to keep up a central directory right now, but there are several of us who are working across different groups to try to establish the Prison Book Program Alliance that would act as this central node to more effectively and efficiently delegate all of these tasks and also information share about some of these new policies and restrictions and quirks that we're seeing in different prisons coming up. I also used to work for the Human Rights Defense Center. I was their public records manager. The Human Rights Defense Center publishes prison legal news and criminal legal news, and they do a lot of work around fighting censorship because the publications that they put out tend to be about living under incarceration, fighting the roots of incarceration. And one of the projects that I developed while I was working for the Human Rights Defense Center was to try to find all of the banned books lists from prison systems across the country. Because I had this question, which was, can we just develop a comprehensive database that shows all of the titles that are banned, show where they're banned, the reasons for banning, and put this out into the public? And what I found was actually far worse than I expected, because you can't just go and get this information. In a lot of states, it's not mandatory that the prison systems collect information about what they're censoring at all. So some of these states have no obligation to even record this information, which means that it's not going to be available to the public in any form. And to compound that, all but two states, Pennsylvania, Washington, they don't make this information publicly available. Washington and Pennsylvania are remarkable in that they have their banned books lists and they actually place them online. So you can go to the DOC's websites and you can find their banned books lists and they keep them updated. No other state does that. If you want to get that information, you have to make a public records request. And the system of public records request laws in this country are such that each state gets to develop their own public records laws. And so I went through systematically with the help of some wonderful students from the University of Washington. I think it was six or seven of us working together. We were only able to find banned books lists for about half of the states, because for some of the states, again, they just don't exist. There seem to be some themes that come up, and it's really detrimental to the purposes of what people request information for, and oftentimes breaks out over racial lines. We just published a paper back in December that talked about the racist underpinnings of a lot of the censorship that goes on. The title of it is Systemic Oppression and the Contested Ground of Information Access for Incarcerated People. And it was four of us who work in this realm. One person who does jail librarianship and three of us who work with prison book programs. And we just went back through all of the notifications for bans that our programs had received, as well as the banned books list that we were able to collect, and just started going down and seeing what were the patterns that were emerging. And it became pretty clear pretty quickly that there were some patterns, and it tended to be books by authors of color, and it tended to be books that dealt with the lived experience that Black people and people of color face in this country. You know, we see a lot of Toni Morrison banned. We see a lot of books that deal with issues of unjust policing or incarceration itself that are often censored, supposedly because they constitute threats to the facility, but there seem to be very clear motives for what is not allowed for people who are incarcerated to have access to. And again, when you can't just run out and go to Amazon and purchase a book and get it and read it, what the staff decide is allowable for you becomes your entire world. And so when you have these pervasive issues of censorship, especially along political lines, that has permutations about what people are able to understand and experience in the world. Thank you.